Today on Being Disciples, we take a look at Trinity Part 3, The Father's Love. He sent his son to bring us into that personal relationship with him. So let's discover what the Bible has to say about the Father's love. Welcome to the Being Disciples podcast with Pastor John. All notes and links can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, that's virtualstudywith.us. This is a weekly podcast published every Monday that is meant to help believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ to mature in their faith. These principles should be useful to anyone who listens, but especially for the believers who are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. You're invited on this journey to explore what it means to be a disciple. Let's begin by joining Pastor John with an opening prayer. Pastor John?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for so great a love that you have for us, that you sent your only begotten Son to redeem us and to restore us into a right relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, that for the joy set before you, you were willing to leave the majesty of heaven to come into this world, your creation, to redeem us and to restore us into a loving relationship with the Father. Thank you for laying down your life for us, both in the living of it and in the dying. In life, you showed us how we ought to live in intimacy with the Father, following the leading of Holy Spirit and loving one another. In death, you gave your body for us, bruised for our iniquities, wounded for our transgressions. You were beaten, battered, and bloodied, even pierced to the shedding of your blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Now we ask you to give us the words to say and to open our ears and hearts to hear what you would say to us. Please bless all who join us today and all who hear this message on a recording. Amen.
Welcome to episode 38 of Being Disciples. Today we're looking at the Father's love. This is the third part in our Trinity series. We can begin with a very simple statement: God is love. And we find this in 1 John chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 7 through 9. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. A definition of love that I go by for living the Christian life is this: love is to see the need of another and then do whatever is in your power to satisfy that need, as led by Holy Spirit or according to Scripture or conscience. There are reasons for the qualifier at the end of the statement. I do not want to move out of God's will for me or another. And like loving a child, jumping in to resolve something for someone else is not always the correct thing to do. That qualifier may not be used as an excuse to not show love. I cannot simply say that I do not know of a scripture for that specific situation. And I cannot say, well, I don't feel led by the Spirit. There is not only the sin of commission, that which we actively do. There is also sin of omission, that which we fail to do when we know the right thing to do. James in his letter wrote, "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." And that's in chapter 4, verse 17. That said, we need to accept that God is love. He created us. He cares for us. He desires to have a relationship with us. He has our best interest at heart. He knows our true needs, even when sometimes we confuse our needs with our wants or our personal desires. Though it is difficult for us to grasp, the Father has sacrificed on our behalf. The picture of this was with Abraham and Isaac in the book of Genesis. The story is in chapter 22. God tested Abraham, instructing him to offer his son as a sacrifice. Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2, we read, "After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.' Though Abraham was not required to follow through in the sacrificing of his son, the story is a picture or foreshadowing of the Father giving the Son as a sacrifice for our sake. One function of Scripture is to give us an example to live by, living holy lives and warning against sinfulness. Paul writes of this in his first letter to the believers at Corinth as he describes the Israelites' time in the wilderness. In chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, verses 6 and 11, it says, "Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. And now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. It may be difficult for us to wrap our head around the suffering of God, but the story of Abraham allows us to put ourselves in his place as he is asked by God to give up his only son. We can feel the anguish of considering such a thing, and then imagine actually following through on the act. Some of the similarities of the two events, specifically Isaac and Jesus, are their births were prophesied. They were miracle births of a sort. The son of the father, the son of promise. There was willing submission. There was carrying of the wood. There was being bound. And there was Moriah in the mountain. This means of deliverance, giving the son, was this ultimate act of love for us by the father. Why did the father do this? Because of his love for us. God desires to have a loving relationship with us. Because of his love for us, the Father sent his only Son to redeem us. We read in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." The Apostle John reiterates this in his first epistle. He states that this act shows us the love of God. In 1 John 4, verse 9, it reads, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him." John also says we see God's love in the fact that we are able to be identified as his children. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him." This is confirmed as we see that the Father chooses to adopt us, giving those who choose to enter that relationship with him the right to become children of God. In John chapter 1, his gospel, verses 12 to 13, we read, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." The very point of this being a father-child relationship shows the depth of love the Father desires to give us, as well as the depth of his desire to have a loving relationship with us. We aren't simply worker bees for God on the earth. We are no longer simply servants. Jesus invites us into a deeper personal relationship with God. Again, to the Gospel of John, this time chapter 15, verses 14 to 16, we read, and this is Jesus speaking, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." And what are the primary things Jesus commanded us to do? To love God, to love one another, and to share the good news with others. According to the above verse 14, we are friends of Jesus if we do these things. We have the honor of having been chosen by God to enter into a personal relationship with him. Because of the Father's great love for us, we are invited to and enabled to co-labor with him in the kingdom of God. Jesus often pointed to that love in his examples to his disciples. He teaches of our value to the Father. Matthew records Jesus saying in chapter 6, verse 26 of his gospel, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" And then again in Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 to 31, we hear Jesus saying, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." Though the prophet Jeremiah, in writing this word from God to the exiles whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken from Jerusalem, I believe he has the same concern and care for us, as we read in chapter 29, verse 11 of Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." He also conveys God's desire to be in a relationship with us. As we read in the next two verses, 12 and 13, we see, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I encourage you to review episode 30 of this podcast, Who God Says He Is. We took a look at the names of God, and each name attributed to God has a meaning and is what God wants to be to his children. All of the attributes are good and have our best interest at the heart of them. For God is love, and he does love us. Paul tells us we cannot be separated from the love of God. In his letter to the believers at Rome, he first asks the question in chapter 8, verse 35, where he writes, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" Then he provides the answer to that question. In verses 38 and 39, we read, "No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." He lists all the areas of concern, and none of them, Paul says, can separate us from the love of God. He considers things physical, death or life. Then he talks about things spiritual, angels or rulers. Then he talks about time and timing, that being things present or things to come. He talks about authorities in this world, the powers. And he talks about the magnitude being physical or perceived, which is the height or depth. And in case one could come up with something that does not fall into one of those categories, he adds, "nor anything else in all creation." So who are we to claim that God cannot love us? Short of blaspheming Holy Spirit, as we discovered in the previous lesson, all sins can be forgiven according to the words of Christ. God has stacked things in our favor if we will only humble ourselves and listen to him. As the prophet Jeremiah wrote, God has plans for our welfare, giving us a future and a hope. God invites us to come to him. Nothing can separate us from the love God has for us. He offers forgiveness to us for our sin. He values us and desires to have a loving relationship with us. Whether we operate in false humility or in arrogance and pride and believe he cannot love us, or he cannot forgive something we've done, we are effectively calling God a liar. Meditate on that for a few minutes. Give that a little thought. Do we want to call God a liar? Paul the Apostle, writing to Titus, says, "Which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began," referring to eternal life. But Paul says that God never lies. He also refers to the faithfulness of God in his letter to the believers at Rome. We read in Romans 3, verses 3 and the first part of verse 4, "What if some are unfaithful? Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. Let God be true, though everyone were a liar." As followers of Christ, we need to begin with believing the word of God is true, both the scriptures and Christ Jesus. If everything around us contradicts the word, will we stick with the word or flow with the world? What is it that Paul told Titus that God promised before the ages began? Eternal life. God had a plan for our redemption and a relationship with him before the creation took place. He accounted for everything that would attempt to steal us from him. Jesus is the way through whom we come unto the Father. In John 14:6, we see my favorite verse in the Bible. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It's my favorite verse because using it, I can show that there's no wiggle room here. You either come through Christ Jesus or you don't get to the Father. But remember this in Jesus' words, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the means of our salvation. And Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the true word of God. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the one who provides eternal life. And only through Jesus are we able to enter into a loving relationship with the Father. God set up the plan for our salvation and a relationship with the Father before the ages began. That plan was Jesus and still is Jesus. Read Psalms 139 and meditate on the majesty of God. David reflects on God's knowledge, his presence, and the wonder of his creation of man. God even has a book written for us from before our days even began. My suspicion is that the book is God's desires for us and the perfect plan for our lives. Through our sinfulness, we have strayed from that perfect plan. However, I believe he continuously nudges us back on track if we will listen and walk in obedience in love. Of course, our lives would be most rewarding walking out that perfect plan he has for us. We read in Psalms 139, verses 13 and 16, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." David establishes here that God is our creator. Even when we were yet unseen, God formed our inward parts. God knitted us together in the womb. We were intricately woven together in secret. Then David mentions the book of our days. Every one of the days that were fashioned for us have been written in God's book. And David says this took place before any of those days existed. A lot took place before creation. The point being, the love of God was so great for us that he worked all things out in our favor before we were created. And Paul reiterates this in one of his letters. In Romans 8, verse 28, it says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. It is God who chose us. He called us to his Son to receive the salvation and eternal life that he prepared for us. Again, it is all due to his love for us." In the Gospel of John, we see Jesus' words again, first with verse 44 and then in verses 63 through 65. He says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." And again, he says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe." And then in parentheses, "For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, this is why I told you that no one can come unto me unless it is granted to him by the Father." The Father draws us to Jesus Christ to experience the gift of salvation. Through receiving that gift, by believing that Jesus is the Son and surrendering our lives to him, we gain access to the Father. There are a lot of scriptures here and many, many more that we need to meditate upon. This is where we ask Holy Spirit to give us knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and revelation so we can receive this into our spirits by faith and come to know the love of the Father. But let's stop here for a minute and give Garrett an opportunity to share with us where you can find these notes and continue on with the study.
Let's take just a moment to remind you that all notes and links can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, it's virtualstudywith.us. Feel free to use this broadcast or the notes as you disciple someone else, as you lead a small group, or as you dive deeper into your own study.
So thanks for those reminders, Garrett. Enjoying this snowy week we've been having?
Sort of.
It's kind of screw up your internet.
Yeah, that was part of the problem. Well, when it rains and then snows and freezes, the cables have some issues every now and again. And it's been a crazy week with that, but we got to do what we got to do and make sure that we keep going. I just pray over it like today so that we don't have any issues.
The Father's love. One of the ways he provides for us is with the moisture from the snow to fill the reservoirs and whatever.
And then today he gives us the sunshine to make us happy.
So the Father's love, the easiest way I thought to start the teaching part was with the simple verse about God is love. He is love and he truly has our best interest at heart, and everything he does is for the sake of the kingdom, and we're part of that kingdom, so it's for our sake. And it's hard to believe I was in the religious system where it was all God waiting in judgment to punish us for whatever, and we needed to appease God. It almost seems like it was a pagan system from where I see it from now.
Oh, I understand that too, going through some of the new training stuff I'm going through and getting down to what the truth of the real Bible is. It's like, wait a minute, my church teaches this differently. It's almost like you have to do works. Works aren't involved in all, you know, that doesn't get you to heaven. It's like, wait, what? I've been mistaught these things for years. As man can do, we've murkied the waters, even with the religious stuff and the biblical stuff. It's like, wait a minute, that's nowhere in the Bible. Okay, let's truth here. Let me dig this apart and get in there, which is the fun part about studying and doing what we're doing is, here's the deal. We want to be able to disciple you because God calls us into action. And what we're supposed to do is be out there talking. And there's so many people that have been stuck in the religious system. Oh, I got saved now, but what do I do?
Well, and that's part of the purpose of this podcast, right?
Exactly. And that's where you and I come into play.
But James teaches that the works are good in that they're supposed to put on display the faith that we have. So without the works, you know, faith is dead. You don't have faith to sit back and do nothing. You have the faith to go out and do what the Lord's calling us to do.
Very true.
The works are important, but yeah, the focus and the importance and the faith has to be there to make the works worth anything. But if we're not doing anything, that faith is dead because it's not producing.
And all of it's meant to show God's love and to bring people to Christ, as opposed to if you're going out there and thinking the works are what's going to save you. No, it's your relationship with Jesus Christ that did that. The works and the faith above that are signs that God does exist through you. And that's the cool part. And to me, God's love is amazing in that regard because he thought about every angle of this.
Really letting his love flow through us, you can't do without that relationship.
Yeah.
And that would be the purest of love.
Agreed. Yeah.
So what do you think of the definition I tend to live by? For living the Christian life, I put it as, love is to see the need of another and then do whatever is in your power to satisfy that need. Then I qualified it a little bit saying as led by Holy Spirit or according to scripture or conscience, because I don't want to move outside of the will of God, but I can't use that as an excuse either. Like my children, I didn't want to jump in and just resolve everything for them because then they don't learn. Yeah. I don't want to solve everybody's issues, even if I have the power, but I should be following the leading of Holy Spirit, basically.
Oh, I agree with that. My thing now is that if I see somebody who I think needs prayer and healing, I'm supposed to walk up to them and start a conversation of sorts and then ask if I can lay hands on them and command the illness, sickness, whatever it is, out. What an amazing God that had that plan in there for us and he's given us that command to go do it.
That co-labor with him.
Yeah, it's so amazing that he did these things and he wants you to be active on the battlefield. We're at war. The more I get deep into this stuff, the more I just... God's love and awe and wonderment, it makes me even long more. And then the more I find myself in that, the more I find myself digging into it, the less I find myself doing sinful things.
Do have to follow God's will for us and what he's calling us to do. We need to understand what's right and wrong in his sight. And James even puts it, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin. If I see somebody that needs help and it's all in my power to help them, I have to ask God quick. Do you want me to do this or not? And if I don't really have an answer whether to do it or not to do it, I always feel then it's my option to do it. So am I going to do the right thing? One of the ways the Spirit communicates with us is through our conscience. You get our conscience pricked here or there that you shouldn't be doing this or why aren't you doing that? And we need to pay attention to that.
Oh, heck yeah. The way he's so loving is he knows I love comedy and I love to laugh and make other people feel good through laughter. So he always finds a way to get me, and I know it's him because he knows my personality well enough. It's like a knock-knock joke, you know? He knock-knock, I get this little sensation first, and then he gives me his wisdom. And I'm like, I have no doubt it's him because of the way he's telling it to me. And it's like, dude, here you go. Here's your joke of the day. And I'm not saying it's like that for everybody. If he really needs to get my attention while I'm studying, I get this little knock-knock. Here you go. Are you listening? Wake up.
There's two unfortunate things that take place that some people miss out on the love of God. That is a human father and a bad relationship and whatever took place that they're just not trusting of anyone, anything called father. The other would be coming out of relationships and religion like I did, where he was called father, but he is sitting up there waiting to lower the boom as a judge, which he is a judge. But to judge between good and evil and righteousness and not, I believe he is a righteous judge, that whatever he says is in the interest of what is good and holy and true. And because in our sinful behavior before coming to Christ, we want to do what we want to do. And we look at this free will as I'm free to do whatever. And so anytime I'm told not to, that's in confrontation with what I want to. that sin nature versus a born again nature is so different. And so I guess that probably comes out of my religion too, about, you know, all the do's and don'ts, and God just lays down the law and he's waiting to bust you like a cop sitting there with a radar trap waiting to get you for speeding.
He's waiting to spike you or hit you with a lightning bolt or whatever.
And those two views, unfortunately, really skew the true love of the Father when you look at the whole picture of wanting to create us for fellowship and intimate relationship, and then also preparing a way for us to get back to him after sin came into play, and to think that he had all this planned out beforehand, and that he wants to adopt us as his children so we can basically come into the family business, as it were, in the kingdom of God. And not to be slaves and servants and puppets, but to mature as Christians, become Christ-like in the fact of walking in that righteousness and doing the right things and co-laboring with him as a partner, not as a servant. So those two views, unfortunately, skew a lot of things.
Yeah, and I have to back up what you said about being in a religious type system. You know, we've kind of painted ourselves into a corner nowadays with it. And it's funny when you just get back to the Bible and the truth and then whittle away some of the incorrect concepts or incorrect thinking we as man has put into that process. I have grown into this thing where my relationship with him has become much more personal than any other time in my life. Just because I'm digging into the word differently and I'm not living within church doctrine or church rules or church principles. I'm just going with the truth. And it's amazing what he opens up to you.
Do you have any examples of where you know that you know that you know that God is showing his love to you in a specific instance, and so much so that you say, oh, I'm starting to realize the depth of your love for me because of not necessarily doing something for me, but I'll give you an example. My wife and I have been married 42 and a half years. About 20 some years ago, I did something that was really stupid, put a wedge between us for a bit, and I repented. She forgave, got over, moved forward, and kept on with life. A number of years later, I was kind of reminiscing on some things and said, I can't believe that after all we've been through and how I hurt you and this other stuff, that you still love me like you do. And she's like, I don't remember what you're talking about. And instantly, God spoke into my spirit. If she can forgive you and forget about it like that, what makes you think I can't? Because I was always like, well, how does God forget anything? He just hangs on to it. Because it was all part of that ledger. I came out of the ledger system about good and bad and making my goods outnumber my bads. And so he made it awfully clear to me that he forgave me for the things he forgave me for. And once he did, that was it. They're done. It's taken care of.
And he chooses to forget. That doesn't mean he forgets. Choosing to forget and then actually forgetting and not remembering.
He's setting it aside and not holding it to my account any longer.
Oh, that's his love right there.
So he's saying right there, if she can do that, what makes you think I can't?
Yeah.
So there's one example where I know the love of God. He was showing me his great love for me in the forgiveness, even starting at the cross, the forgiveness for our sins. But even as a Christian in this Christian walk, when we stumble in sin, we repent and the forgiveness is there.
Yes.
It's a great love.
And that's the thing about that too, is that some people forget. I know I've been in this mindset too, where I sin and I've sinned habitually and therefore I can never really be saved and I got to keep asking Jesus back into my heart. No, I've done that already. He's there. It's now repenting of whatever that sin is and then renewing of the mind is so that when something comes up to you, you can turn out of that temptation or that sin and turn to his word or something positive outside of whatever else you had in that going moment. Another way of God's love showing himself, I would say for me, would be through all my health issues and then landing and learning about how he wants us healthy and healed. And wow, it's his truth. He commands us to go out there and help heal other people. We have that ability. And that's the part that I'm like, holy cow, his love is that huge that he wants us all to be able to be healthy and live abundant lives. But knowing that I can turn to him anytime and say, or not turn to him anytime, but I can say in Jesus' name, get this, cast this thing out, and then go about my day is like, wow, okay, that's an amazing thing. I just know his love for me is that amazing. And it's no different for anybody else. It's just, do you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And let's move on from there.
I think another way he shows great love for us is the people he puts around us. Maybe not everybody, but there's people that he uses specifically. Like the two of us, we have a good relationship and we use each other to spur one another on to do whatever it is we're doing, including this podcast and other things. But another good example here, with all that's going on in the world today, and you keep seeing the ads, seems like 75% of the people I watch on YouTube or Rumble or get information from about current events, what's going on out there, it's like 75% of them have a food thing. Order here for your freeze-dried food or, you know, dehydrated food or the food packets, you know, the meal.
End of the world. Yeah.
And they're so expensive. I'm not even thinking end of the world. Just when things go bad, you better have a supply of something, you know. And in Minnesota, we typically haven't had the issue. You know, you have the hurricanes in Florida, you have earthquakes in other areas, you have power outages in other areas regularly. There's always something going on that we should be ready for an emergency. Minnesota, when I was a kid, maybe it was more about the potential of a winter storm and a blizzard, and you're not going to get to the stores. Well, with today's snow removal, and I think there is actually less snowfall here now than there was back in the 60s, it really, really never feels threatening here as far as natural events. You have the occasional tornadoes up here. And other than that, it doesn't get a lot worse than that. You got the flooding in the spring, but that's a cyclical thing that you're prepared for.
Yep.
But, you know, to try to explain to my adult children, for example, we are really kind of in a war right now. And you better be prepared, because if something really goes haywire and they talk about a diesel shortage and the farming land is having issues and with droughts and the food on the shelves is going to dry up, I don't think it's all fear mongering. I think there is something to it and to the point of being prepared. So I say all that to say this, I can't afford it. So I'm asking the Lord, you know, do I really need anything like that? You know, what's going on? So I've stocked up some, you know, when I bought something, I'd buy something extra, and I have more in my pantry than I used to have. Just when I can afford something, I'll buy a little extra. And then things get tough and we start going through it and I got to start over. But this past month here, I went deer hunting for my very first time. The one guy that was going with me is leaving town for a month. And so he took some of the good cuts of meat that he likes, just a little bit of it, and left the rest for me. And I actually gave away a little bit of it to my kids and stuff here, you know, have a little treat. I still have 50 pounds of meat in my freezer from the deer hunting. 2 days ago, a friend calls up and says, you know, he doesn't eat ham. I got a ham yesterday from work. Would you like it? Sure. So I have a ham in the freezer now. My brother-in-law had gone hunting and got a big buffalo, and he's saying how he wished the meat was there already and somehow it hasn't gotten through all the processing yet. But he says, I'm going to give you some. God has put these people around me to provide some of the stuff that can be frozen. And the thing about it is, it's Minnesota, it's winter. Even if the power went out, the stuff will stay frozen as long as I want it to.
Yep.
And even though I have an electric range, I still have my camp stone for propane. I have a smoker. I have a grill. I have charcoal in the garage. I can take care of it. So he just, again, his loving kindness let me know that I'm covered. And here you go.
And that reminds me of the verse, if he takes care of feeding all the birds and the birds don't have to worry about where the next worm is coming from, he does that same thing for us. And that's exactly what you just basically reiterated, is that, yeah, there's a point about being prepared, but then there's the point where you rely on God and he does bring you the needs through other people, through other means. And that, again, showing his love, just like, wow, how amazing that he had all this in mind even before I was here.
Yeah, I didn't think of that way, but here's Matthew 6:26. Go ahead and read that. It was in the study.
Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than the birds? That's one of my favorite ones that I think I'm going to have to memorize that and put the Matthew 6:26, because it's so true. We get so caught up in sometimes in the fear mongering that's in the world that we're not actually doing the work we're called to do. We're pent up saving stores of food here on earth that aren't going to do us any good if we're not working the kingdom here too. And not trying to be silly about it either, just making sure the needs are met. But your needs with God are always covered. Do I need to be that prepared, or am I okay? And am I cultivating my community enough so that we take care of one another, which is ultimately, I think, what God's love is too, is our community working with one another.
Well, that's what I've been trying to teach my kids too, about being prepared. So even if you don't need it all, you'll have it for the neighbors that did nothing to prepare. And so to show the love of God by supplying, he may be the one that's being used in this Matthew 6 verse. My daughter may be the one that God is using to provide for that person next door to show his love and bring them to know the joy of his salvation. About 3 years ago, like the week between Christmas and New Year, so almost 3 years ago to the week here, I said to my wife, I said, this proverb, I said, I think we need to use the Cricut, get the letters, put this on our mirror and read it every day. And it's Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make straight your paths. And that's one of those times where I was kind of, well, Lord, things are tight. Should I be getting a full-time job? Should I stay doing the ministry stuff you have and picking up the side stuff? And this is the verse that came to mind. So I brought it up to Sue, my wife, and said, I think we just need to lean on this and pray on it every day. And she agreed. We put it on our big mirror in the bathroom with the letters. It's still there today. So whenever we're in there getting ready for work or whatever, or in and out of the bathtub, you know, just laying back in the tub, relaxing, I'll look up and see that verse and right away meditating on that, that he truly does make our path straight. He truly does supply what we need. And a lot of times over my walk with the Lord, it's been beyond my understanding. It's been a blessing, and he does really watch over what we need and not confuse our needs with our wants.
Yes.
But, you know, he takes care of our needs.
Yeah. Similar things happen all the time down here too. And if you're in tune to what's going on, you know where the glory is meant to go. Not me. It's not my hands. God guiding that. And it's just amazing. It just makes me, it humbles me. To be able to know that God does that, and that being able to renew your mind, like you said too, John, by being in your bathroom and reading that scripture, it's a great thing to have little scriptures all over, just so that every now and again you could take a moment and get yourself grounded back in that relationship with God, as opposed to not, is another amazing thing that God has given us. His word is amazing, you know, and his word is love.
And then even to start meditating on the depth of that love, because while we're in this notes of my study here, the next Matthew verse from chapter 10 was, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. It's that detailed of what he knows about us and how he wants to care for us that, oh, I lost a couple more hairs. Well, he knows how many are left. He's got them all numbered. He knows. And the old joke, amazing, you know, some people, yeah, it's easier to count than others. But
well, and it's amazing that he is that in tune to his creation, which is another sign of love.
And we've talked about before Psalm 139, where it talks about that he has books written for us from even before the days began for us. And Jeremiah said it, you know, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. So he has that all laid out for us, I think. And the more we get in tune with him, get on the same page, which is his page, his book, and we're walking in obedience and love, and we're answering the call when we feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit or hear the voice of God, however it is that it happens, and we're moving in the right direction. I believe he has a great plan for us, and I think he's always nudging us back to whatever that plan is. He has ways of doing it.
Oh, I totally agree. I'll give this example for this part of kind of getting me back in tune with his plan. I used to smoke cigar occasionally, and I still love a cigar, but there was a point I was driving and I'm smoking it one and I'm driving with it going, okay. And I get this inkling, I get this, the knock-knock I get, knock-knock. Hello, son. I got to tell you, and this is my version of God talking to me in his funny way. I got to tell you, son, you just smoked a $10 bill and it tastes like crap. So what's the point? and I thought to myself, I said, oh, you know, good point. And besides that, it's not good for your health. It's not good for this. But he led with the, you just smoked a $10 bill. And I'm like,
kind of gives you a visual, doesn't it? Rolling up that tobacco inside of a $10 bill and lighting it up.
So he got a hold of me. And I mean, I'm laughing, going, okay, thank you. I throw it out the window. Does that mean I've been good and not had another one? Not necessarily. There's every now and again. And with all my health stuff, I better not. So erring on that, and then just having that was his parable for me, for my personal life. He knew exactly what to tell me to get my attention, to get me laughing, and then to get me to get rid of it. And he does that with me in all types of different scenarios and either sinful things I'm leading down. He'll catch me and go, hey, wait, you have a choice here. It's A or B. and A is my way or B is your way. And you already know B.
How's that plan B going for yourself working for you is what he's asking, right?
Yeah, my plan doesn't work. It doesn't work. I get into trouble. I cut myself off. I turn away from him. And then that's where people go, oh, no, he's walked away from me. No, he never walks away from you. He's always there. He's always there. It's us that turns our back and starts walking away. I want to keep walking towards him. But again, like you said earlier, we're not perfect. And that perfect plan he has for us, if we could hit it, well, that would be amazing. But we know we're going to fall short. But our choice is still, well, let's sin less, follow more, be obedient more, and do that as often as possible. And that's, I think, the way to live the Christian life the best I can, is to be more on that and know that, yeah, I'm human too, and I'm still going to have my moments, but he gave us repentance to be able to get back to him. There's his love again.
And like you say, he hasn't left us. Sometimes we turn away, but those next couple of verses in Jeremiah talk about the desire he has to want that relationship with us. So then you'll call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. He's letting us know he's not trying to be a recluse. He's not trying to hide away from us. He will hear us. Mm-hmm. But what you said there about it's us turning away, the next verse says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So that's when we notice the heavens getting brass, or, you know, is he really hearing me, or I'm not sensing his presence. Are we really seeking him with our whole heart? At times, if it becomes a religious ritual or exercise, for example, that's not really seeking him with our whole heart. That's just kind of going through the motions. And then we wonder why we don't hear his voice or sense his leading, when really what we've done is we've taken it for granted and kind of lessened the importance of it, or
yeah,
something like that.
Well, and we have. I'm in agreement with you there, is when it comes to these things, sometimes we just get into rinse, what? Rinse, repeat.
Yeah, wash, rinse, repeat.
There you go. And he wants us to step out of that and have that conversation. Like, to me, he's physically there, because I'm holding the conversation, talking in my car. It, like my dad would be sitting next to me in the car. And I have that type of conversation with him, which to me is the most amazing thing, because it's a form of prayer, but he's actually conversing with my spirit and my soul while I'm in that car, helping guide me through certain things. And I'm not hearing an audible voice. Don't get me wrong. I'm not hearing an audible voice. Just, you know, it's the Holy Spirit in you, giving you that information and talking with you. And that's another reason I know his love for me is so enormous, is because he does that for me. And I can have that relationship with him that, to me, it feels like a physical relationship, because I'm having this huge conversation that I can have with him. And he's allowed us to be able to do that. He's given us the way to do it. And that's the part I really love about it. Or someone in your life comes up to you and you know God gave them this word, because all of a sudden it hits you and you know it's God through them, whether they do or not. That's another way that these things come through.
Yeah, that's a witness in your spirit. You know, Sue said more prophetic things to me and things to get me back on track or stop me from going in the wrong direction without even knowing it. She's just saying it. The Holy Spirit was using it, amplifying it to me.
And that's what's amazing about being in community with God's people too, and being part of a group of people, you know, such as you and me. We found that we have a much deeper relationship now with Christ and each other, even though we're separated by distance, than I've ever had in my life. And then when we do get together in person, all the people that come to do like fire pit worship at your place, it's just amazing how I want to find those type of people and surround myself more and more with people in that mindset so that I can keep going. That doesn't mean I cut everybody else out of my life either, but his love for that, for all of us to be able to have those opportunities also, is just amazing.
If there's anybody listening today that has that same desire as Garrett does, remember we have the virtual study with us, virtualstudywith.us, and there's a form on the homepage there that you can fill out. And if you're desiring to have this sort of conversation privately with us, or get into a group study and maybe a fellowship, I guess I'm thinking like a home church, but if we're separated by miles, it's not necessarily at one person's home. But I do this online with some really solid believers, and I've received healing from prayers through there. I've had my faith increased through these people there, and there is genuine bonds of love forming in that group online. And that's people from Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Texas, Indiana, places around that we don't have to be walking into a church building together, because we're gathering together, dedicating that time to what do you want to do, Holy Spirit? And this past week, we just started, somebody was sharing something. Well, let's just pray about that right now. And the whole night turned into a prayer, testimony prayer for each other, you know, worshiping God for what he's doing in our lives, praying over one another, expecting to see change in lives. And so the love of God flowing through us impacts other believers and yet to be believers the same, because like at Pizza Man Church, when we're ministering to somebody in the group at Pizza Man, others are taking notice. And if there's a healing or they see somebody go from high anxiety to perfect peace, they notice that. It's a witness and a testimony for people to see around us.
And God uses signs and wonders to get the attention of people who need to come and be there. And that's the other thing is that when you do run into those people, be prepared to bring them into discipleship, not just lead them with a prayer saying, okay, now you're a Christian. Go have fun. See ya. Whatever. No, now we have to make them a disciple. So it becomes our job to help disciple them. That's one of the things I'm learning now too, is that, yeah, it's great and all. You get some of these people who are out there and they're just praying over people and they get saved and boom, they move on. Well, no. There's a little more entailed to this. We got to bring them in and help teach them where they need to be looking and doing that, which is what I love about our whole podcast is it's been about the discipleship part. So it's like, I have this ready set resource for me when I'm out there. I can go, hey, you know what? Here's the thing. I know we don't have a lot of time, or there's so many things that we have going on. I don't want to say we're not following God's spirit or whatever, but he'll put it on my mindset going, you don't have to reinvent the wheel, Garrett. You guys recorded some really good stuff that I'm teaching through. So why don't you give them that resource so that they can go through it? They have your number, whatever. They can reach out to you if they have a question. And then I have their information too, usually, because by this point, I've already had a wonderful conversation and seen where it's going. But giving them the resources to move forward, but then also being there to say, hey, yeah, here's the discipleship thing. Here's this. God has guided you and I to that, John, which is amazing. Again, his love for us to do this out of love for our fellow man is just amazing. And again, he's going to use it and we're just going to sit back and give him the glory.
And the more this culture goes in the direction it's going, I think there's going to be more need for that and more practice of that as time goes on.
Well, we're going to find more and more people reaching out. There's so many people hurting in this world right now, whether it's mentally, physically, or whatever. They may be looking for their purpose or what their lot in life is, whatever they may call it, that have never been introduced, or they have been introduced and strayed away or need to be kind of in repentance and come back. And then making sure we don't sit stagnant. I know for a lot of my life, I've sat stagnant on the sidelines and not out there with this action and with the things I've been learning. I have to go out and be on the playing field active. And it's scary because I've never done it. But that doesn't mean I can't do it. And I'm supposed to do it because he's telling me, Garrett, have you done it? Have you gone out there? You know, I put somebody on your mind and I keep kind of sometimes pushing it down and delay. And it's like, no, you need to go do this and I will show you why. And I'm just impressed at how God does things.
Right. And the beautiful thing is Paul shows us that there isn't anything that can separate us from the love of God. I mean, he loved us since before we were born. He loves us still. Mm-hmm. The thing is, when we come to him and surrender our lives and acknowledge the need for that savior and salvation, the forgiveness of sin, it just amplifies it where we're in full realization of it. But Paul in Romans 8, 38 and 39 talks about that there's nothing that can separate us. Not death or life, not angels or rulers or things present or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation. So learning these things that he's talking about the physical things, the spiritual things, the timing of things, the authorities around us, the magnitude of something. I mean, he's basically covered everything in life and death. Mm-hmm. And just in case anyone wants to argue that, he adds the last phrase, nor anything else in all creation. There's nothing that can separate us. So if we're having this false humility or this woe is me time, our own little pity party, well, God can't love me, well, God can't forgive me. I mean, think about that. We're really calling him a liar because he can.
Yeah.
We just don't want to receive it or accept it. So we really need to do some self-examination, humble ourselves before the Lord. I know this is what your word says. Forgive me if I can't receive that truth at the moment, but please help me get to that point. We have to humble ourselves quite often.
Daily.
Another key word there is you said you're thankful, which just reminds me of the Thanksgiving show I did with my wife. And I think that's something we all need to take account of as well, is learning to walk in a thankful spirit. That will change as much in our life as anything, because our Thanksgiving goes to God. It deepens that relationship with God, deepens that intimacy, because we realize where all these blessings come from. And it's because of the love of God.
You know what happens then, Johnny? That when you're walking in that thankfulness, you're reflecting that into the world, which is what other people will see. So again, you're out there and people ask me all the time, Garrett, why are you always so happy? Why are you always so thankful? And I always go, because I have a wonderful God. I have a wonderful Father. And then a lot of times it opens more of a conversation. What do you mean? For people who don't know, they are like, what? That just sounds weird. What are you talking about? So explain, you know? It's so true for me. When I have it, people stop me all the time. They're like, yeah, we know you have all this medical stuff going on and here you are happy as a, you know, and I just know that's the way God has designed me to be, to show his love in this world. It's the way it happens. So it's like, okay, here it is. This reminds me of his love, being able to do that all the time.
So that episode, A Spirit of Thanksgiving, was episode 34 from 1 month ago, November 21st. Any final thoughts on the love of the Father before I pray us out?
You know, I'm going to say this much, guys. If you want a relationship with the Father, get with Jesus, let him into your heart, and then start walking in obedience, and then get out there and live in action on the playing field. And we're here for any of you guys that have questions, concerns. We're always willing to chat and help plug you in. And with John and I, we are more of an online couple of guys because it's where our passion is and we utilize it. And we've made some great relationships that translate even into the offline world or the real world, so to speak. And we do try to connect up too. It's cool how God gives us the tools and skills to utilize and grow his kingdom within the terms of what's going on with technology and in the world. So just know that you're not alone. You have people behind you and you can reach out to us anytime.
And for those that are local, there are local things that we do that you can be involved with us in. But this really reaches out. I think last I checked was 30 states and 28 countries, 23 to 28, somewhere in there. And so it's going far and wide, however the Lord would lead it to go. And
that's what those
he leads to it that need to hear it. We just thank you, Father, for your great love, that you so love us that you sent your only begotten Son and redeemed us and invited us to be children of God. And if anybody wants that and needs that, go back to the opening prayer and listen to that closely and say, God, I want that. I need that. Here I am. I surrender. And he will start opening your eyes to things around you, bringing you into contact with people. So, Father, we just ask you that whoever does that, that you would truly lead them in the way of life everlasting, lead them to what they need in their life. Let them hear from you and Holy Spirit to know the love that you have for them, to realize the forgiveness and healing in Christ Jesus. And until we meet again, we just pray blessings and peace over everyone. Walk in a spirit of thanksgiving. Love your fellow man. And be blessed in this holiday season, but more importantly, be the blessing. Next time on Being Disciples, part 4 of our Trinity series, Why a Savior? Paul the Apostle preached Christ and him crucified. There is power in this simple message. Discover it with us next time on Being Disciples.
Thank you for joining us today on this episode of Being Disciples. The show is hosted on Podbean. You can find it at beingdisciples.podbean.com. Again, it's beingdisciples.podbean.com. There you can find all episodes of this podcast. There's also a Patreon button you can use to support this broadcast if you feel so moved, and we thank you. You can also find us on your favorite podcast platform. The notes and links for this show can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, that's virtualstudywith.us, virtual study with us. Feel free to use this broadcast or the notes as you disciple someone else, as you lead a small group, or as you dive deeper into your own study. From the site, you can contact us if you would like to join a study group. If you have questions or comments for Pastor John, you can contact him by email at john.anoka@virtualstudywith.us. That's John, J-O-H-N, dot, Anoka, A-N-O-K-A, at virtualstudywith.us, or through the contact form on the main page of the website. Please subscribe to this podcast and join us again next week as we learn more about being disciples.